spent the last 3 weeks talking about the principles that are necessary to follow in order to let your excuses go, based on this book, Excuses Begun, by Dr. Wayne Dyer. So today we're in week four of that discussion, and today's theme, the fourth principle, is contemplation. And we're going right into it. I'll start with a short, what is it called?
Quote.
I'll start with a short quote. The quote is, contemplation is the highest form of activity, and that's by Aristotle. And that's what Dr. Wayne Dyer uses here to introduce us to contemplation. And I want to ask, ladies, what does contemplation mean to you? And what can you tell our listeners about contemplation? How can it help us love our lives now?
To me, contemplation is kind of like daydreaming. It's an active thing. It's action. And it is, like Aristotle says, one of the highest forms of activity, daydreaming, which we dismiss in our society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when my daughter was in school daydreaming, the teachers always made that wrong. Daydreaming is when you're actually actively creating the future for yourself. So that's what's showing up for me right now.
Well, in education, there's the, you know, the hierarchical of learning, mm-hmm. and creativity is the highest. They restructured that hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the philosopher who, you probably know it, Sabine, Bloom's taxonomy,
mm-hmm.
right? So that there's different levels. There's understanding, there's knowing, there's synthesizing, there's analyzing. And they had switched it. It had been synthesis was the top.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, let's say, I'm going to say like maybe 5 to 10 years ago, they switched and they understood it's imagination,
mm-hmm.
that is the highest, this contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein, that's what he says. You can see all those posters. Imagination is the highest form of intelligence.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. My son drew a picture of that and he hung it up in his own room for himself. I guess to remind himself that imagination, imagining things, is not a waste of time. And also because as a child, you're still so much more connected to that. And like you said, Sabine, mm-hmm. we kind of get it beaten out of us.
Right.
In the contemplation piece too, like even if you think about it, not even thinking about it in terms of contemplation, but what we're doing physically, you can feel as you're imagining what you're stepping into, if it's a project, a life work, just something you're taking on for the day, whatever it be. There's an energetic that you're, it's like you're recalibrating your energetic to align with what it is that you want to create, to actually fine-tune our radio tower so that we're bringing it to us, because mm-hmm. we function more as radio towers.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And that is exactly what Dr. Wayne Dyer says about contemplation in the book. Meaning, now, why is it the highest form of activity? Because when I'm contemplating, I'm sitting or laying somewhere and I'm just kind of daydreaming. And I would not say it's necessarily a daydream. It is a more directed daydream, a more purposeful daydream. So
yes.
I'm not just letting my mind go into the nice and sweet. I'm saying, okay, I need to get this thing done. And in order to get this done, I'm seeing myself surrounded by the surroundings and the circumstances that need to happen in order for me to create this thing. And we also call it visioning or envisioning,
yes.
in mainstream society, and athletes do this all the time.
I have to share this with you. There was a study done, and there were basketball players, and it was a team of high school boys. So they had one group would actually do the free throws. Another group would be the control group, and they did nothing. And the third group envisioned making the free throws and envisioned actually making the free throws. So when they actually got to a free throw situation, which group actually would you think was more successful?
The ones who visualized. Yeah.
Even the ones that practiced and actually did the free throws, it couldn't touch what they were able to accomplish with contemplation.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And one of the things, if you are one of the people that are more practical in this, one of the things that's happening is when you contemplate yourself in the circumstance that you want to get to, what it helps you at the least is to stay on track. So if I'm contemplating myself having a certain action finished, a lot of times we forget what we want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We'll say, oh, I want to do this. I want to sign up for this course at this university, for instance. And then weeks go by and, oh, I want to sign up. And a couple more weeks go by and then we miss the deadline to sign up for the course. Mm-hmm. Oh, I couldn't sign up for the course. So now I'm not going to course. Now, if I had envisioned myself taking the course, being in the course, writing the exam, passing the course, I'm already here with my passing in hand, there would have been no way that I would have actually forgotten to sign up for the course. Mm-hmm. So in a very practical way, just one of the things that it does is it helps us stay on track with the actions that need to happen in order to get us to the goal. So that's for those of you who maybe at this time still having challenges understanding how the vibration works, or you know, imagining the energy fields moving. It also is applicable on a very practical level.
And if I can add to that, and on top of what you've said about the athletes and practical, successful business people, and this is how I was raised with my father, who seemed like the very practical, like, oh, I'm not going to do that dreamy thing. But what he does is, in the way I, you know, was brought up with him, we don't ever do anything unless we know absolutely certain I'm going to be successful in that, because you've already visioned it way ahead of time, and you know without certainty. It's not a shock when you win. It's not a shock when you're awarded. It's not a shock when you get this A or whatever it is. It's just like, I saw way ahead of time. I knew walking in the door, I knew taking it, I knew already way ahead of time that the success was going to be there, because you had already contemplated all the steps that happened ahead of time.
Yes. Yes. So there are people out there who do this quite effectively without really knowing that that's what they're doing, because they've just always done it that way and it's worked for them. So they just continue to do it. And that's why those people would never even think of telling you that this is what you need to do to get success. So if we're asking a business coach, well, how are you getting your success? And this business coach can tell us all the technical things about you need to do this and that and this and that. And at the end of the day, you are not able to bring your business to the next level. Then it's because this business coach probably has the contemplation part pat down and isn't even aware of this and forgot to tell you. So you didn't start even contemplating right. yourself in that. And maybe you stayed in that questioning mode. Can I do this? Can I do this? This seems
what
hard.
What happens if this happens? And what if I don't get this?
Yeah. Exactly.
So all this, for people who haven't experienced it, is kind of out there. Like, how do I do this? So to make it practical, to make it real, to have the experience of it, what I do with my clients is I actually have them create a vision board. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the first time they've even thought about doing it. I say, don't question it. Just create your vision board of what you envision yourself in health, let's say. Or it could be in business, in anything. But if we're talking about health, how do you see yourself? And so once they create it, magic happens. They start being pulled towards it. The right people show up in their lives, the right classes show up in their class, and suddenly, you know, within 3 months or 6 months, they are the vision board. Mm-hmm. So then they start trusting the process. Now they understand contemplation. Now they don't necessarily need to create a vision board every time, because now they've physically experienced going through it. But I think sometimes we need something real, touchable, that they can create and see and then prove that, oh my gosh, I wasn't there, now I am.
So, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So contemplation, also we talked about it just before we started, in the way of, in an earlier podcast, we talked about doing things by faith, doing the things that you want to, need to, feel like doing in the world, doing your work, and not being attached to the outcome, which means not doing anything but leaving nothing undone, like from the Tao. And what this means is that if I'm doing something here, and this is my work, maybe you're a massage therapist or or maybe you're a mother and all you're doing right now is raising your children, and that's what you know, this is your work right now at this point in your life, this is your work. And so therefore, you still deserve to have everything, abundance, you deserve to be taken care of, you deserve to have food and fun and happiness and love and all of that. And so what we can say is that we can, through contemplation, we can know that we can disassociate ourselves from that idea that we have to run out into a job, be stuck in a job, and that's where we're going to make our money. It meaning that the vibrations that we send out through the work that we are called to do is the vibration that we send out. And if we are steadfast in that, and then contemplate ourselves having all the things that we require in order to do our work. So if I want to be a very good mom, I require some security. I require a safe place to live with my children. I require a source of money that I can purchase food and clothing and fun activities for my children. So if I'm contemplating myself in that space, the money will show up from somewhere. And just because it shows up from a source that seems disassociated, a source that seems not connected, that's not true, because everything is connected. So whether that money comes from a husband or from the father or from a completely different source, or it comes through a inheritance or whatever, wherever that money comes from, if you contemplate yourself, I am the mother, I am taking care of my children, that's the highest form of work I can do right now besides contemplating myself with all this abundance and happiness and health, that will come from somewhere. And we just have to stay steadfast in that belief. And Tina, you're laughing now.
No, I have a friend that did some, she was in the Amazon and she spent time with the shaman there. And she, my friend, also in the middle of the night, you could imagine being on the Amazon.
It's beautiful.
And she got in the water, didn't care about the sharks, the crocodiles, none of that in the middle of the night. Oh my God. but this Amazonian shaman there was married to someone for a little while, and for a while actually, she adopted 19 children. She wanted to give them a better life, and her husband at the time, just, it was too much, and he broke up with her. 2 months later, she plays the lottery down there. She wins enough money to put every single one of them through college.
Oh my gosh.
Every single one of them.
Isn't that, see, and I wasn't going to say the lottery, but that could be...
It's a source.
You know, it's a source. It seems completely disassociated, and I'm not saying go start playing the lottery. However, yeah, if you feel called to do so for some weird reason...
Gamble on yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Gamble on your vision.
So, but the thing is, she did buy the lottery ticket.
She
was in action, because we have some listeners here going, oh my God, this is so out there,
it's,
you know,
a very good point.
Woo-hoo, whatever, you know, stuff. But we're not saying don't take action. We're saying, you know, that we need to make sure that you are taking action forward. But you, the universe, you can't be clear about how it should look.
Yeah,
this is what,
and the universe has a bigger plan for you than you can ever have with your own mind. So that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do not get caught up in the curse of
right.
the house.
The house, yes.
And we have a saying in Kundalini Yoga, it's you show up and the universe will keep you up.
Very good. You got to show up. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Which means if there is work to be done, you do it without resistance. You do it without questioning. And you do it without questioning its validity or ability to bring you something.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you may be doing things that seem like a waste of time.
Right.
However, they are necessary, they need to be done, they might be mundane,
mm-hmm.
and you do them in the right vibrational energy. So you do them not with disgust or with resistance, you do them the best way you can. You show up, because one of my mentors says the way you do one thing is the way you do
everything. Yes.
Right?
Oh yeah. That's
right?
the way you show up to yoga, that's the way you show up to life. That's what we say. And it vibrates to every other realm. And just like we were talking before, and you know, and I said I go to my credit union, I deposit the money, and I'm in there talking, and I'm talking not just to talk, but these women want me to talk about everything that we're doing, about all of you, about all of the work. And we don't know what part of our life is there to align us wherever our wherever we're going on our path.
Exactly. You never know when the universe has heard your call and that vibration is ready to come back to you. And if you disalign yourself, and the first principle was awareness, the second principle was alignment, the third principle is being in the now. So you start doing that. You become aware of what's going on and how it's going on. You align yourself with it, with meaning you already letting go of the resistance. You learn to go with the flow. You learn to stay in the here and now, because that's when and how you will see what is the next best step for you to do and to take to make yourself happy, to love your life now, to create your what's going to be happening in the future. But you're creating what's happening now in the now. You can't do anything any other time. And then you take the contemplation part, and that's the part that's pulling you, and I love the way you say that, pulling you into the future. So you take time to sit and contemplate and envision the future that you would like to get to. And so you're not living in the future, but you're contemplating, okay, I need, this thing has to happen, this has to get done. So I'm contemplating myself in the circumstances that are going to help me to get this done. And then you come back to the now, you're aligned, you're aware, and you do what has to be done in this moment.
Well, it brings me back to the book, You Are the Placebo. When you take a look in the introduction, Dr. Joe Dispenza, so he's on the third leg of a triathlon, and he gets hit by a car, an SUV going 55 miles an hour crushes his spine. He's flat on a hospital bed. He's talked to the two best surgeons as regarding the back in the country. They said that he must have his spine fused together. There is no other way. This is he's a young man at this time, and he couldn't even think that was the possibility for his life. What he did while he was laying on that bed, he didn't opt for the surgery at all, but he did put himself into the deepest place of contemplation. And from the morning through the night, he got to where, and it was challenging at first because the doctors told him he was not going to walk. And if he stood up, the fragments from his spine were going to pierce, the fragments along his back were going to pierce his spine. So he visualized, he got so adept at visualizing his process and his body being able to do what it needed to heal. And if he just stumbled and had a thought, oh, I can't do this, I'm going to get up and this is what's going to, he'd start all over again and create this healing experience in his body. 9 weeks later, he gets up and walks away. Wow. Totally healed his spine.
Amazing.
Yep. That's amazing. The power of contemplation, the power of true contemplation, not just daydreaming,
right? I get
wishing,
it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but real, true contemplation,
right?
With intention, which is so powerful.
Very,
and it's very powerful because just what we talked about, when you go out into the future, it's not dreaming about the future and what you wish it to be. It's because you are infinitely intuitive in the now. Because you've already been there and you've seen, I see what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I come back into the now and I just move forward because I know that's what's already going to happen. Mm-hmm.
And this is where you can create any future that you want to create. So it's always still open. It's not deterministic. Your future has not been determined. However, with every thought that we think, we are piece by piece, like little Lego pieces. It's a big bunch of Lego pieces and we just start putting them together without knowing what's going to happen sometimes. And if we contemplate, oh, what would I like to have? I'd like to have a castle. And now I am more precise. I'm picking this stone. It goes here. I'm picking this stone. It goes here. I'm picking this stone. It goes here. I might have to search for a particular piece for a half an hour. I think I lost it. It always happens. You're always thinking, oh, this Lego piece is missing in this box. No, it's always there. You just have to look. And that's kind of how to visualize that thinking with an agenda, I guess, right? You are aware that whatever you are thinking, that's what's going to happen one way or another, either way. So whatever your life looks like now, it is a result of your previous thoughts and maybe lack of focused contemplation. And with that, we are out of time again already, and I would like to ask Tina, Sabine, and Christina to let us just know about the next bigger workshop that's coming up. There are plenty of things happening every month in our meetup, but the next biggest workshop that's going on is on April 7th.
April 4th.
April 4th. It's a Saturday, and it's from 1 to 4, and it's going to be three different pieces to it.
Loving Yourself.
Oh, the title is Loving Yourself, and Christina Sirgun is going to do the Kundalini yoga part. Tina Thornton is going to bring us healing foods from nature, and I, Sabine, will be bringing you into the kitchen and share about healing power of food, whole foods. So that's, again, Saturday, April 4th.
This is the second workshop that we've done. It was a very successful. The first one happened in December, and this is our spring segment.
Yes. And how can they register for it?
They can register at yogaforbalance.org. Go online, and as you open up the homepage, it'll say register here now, and it'll take you right to the registration page.
Perfect. So don't delay. Go on yogaforbalance.org now and register for that workshop. And also check out, if you're local, the meetup. It's called Empowered Living - Love Your Life Now. So when you put that into the search engine at meetup.com, it will bring us up, and you can join the meetup for free. You can, we have three free things going on. You can come to those. We also have a couple of videos posted on the website, so you can see how does Sabine teach, how does Tina teach, how does Christina teach, and you'll always be in the know about what's going on. So we will see you again next week, or we will
hear you
here. Well, well, we want you. You will hopefully hear us again next Friday when we're producing the next.